Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Here this morning, there was a new Sunday school teacher. She was wanting to kind of gauge how her class was, and so she got them all together, and she saw little Johnny sitting in the Sunday school. Why is it little Johnny in everything? I don't know why, but anyway, she talked to little Johnny, said, "Little Johnny, who broke down the walls of Jericho?" And little Johnny got a panicked look on his face, and he kind of said, "Well, I don't know, but it wasn't me." And the Sunday school teacher kind of looked, and she was shocked, and she was mortified that little Johnny didn't have any more biblical knowledge than this. And so she went to the Sunday school superintendent, and she relayed the entire story to the Sunday school superintendent, and just kind of looked. The Sunday school superintendent said, "Well, you know, look, I'm sorry, but you know, I've known little Johnny since he was a little boy. I also know all of little Johnny's parents, and I know their family for ages and ages. If little Johnny says he didn't do it, then little Johnny didn't do it, and I'll vouch for him." Well, this made the Sunday school teacher even more upset. And so she's frustrated. So she took it up the ladder and went to the chair of the Christian Ed department and sat him down and said, "Relay the entire story." And the Christian Ed chair just laughed and laughed. And he looked at the Sunday school teacher and said, "You know, I don't know why you're making such a big deal about this. The bottom line is, just get 3 bids and we'll fix the silly wall. Okay? It's no big deal." Isn't it frustrating when Christians who should be leading and who should be at a certain place in their walk with Christ simply are not? Well, such is the case that we see happening in the church at Corinth. Now, we've started this series again on Paul's letter to the church that he planted in Corinth. And although it was founded in a very immoral society, the church took off over the 18 months and it flourished while Paul preached there for the 18 months that he spent in Corinth. Now, after leaving Corinth, Paul journeyed on around for a while and he ended up in Ephesus where he was teaching. And word a few years later gets to Paul. And it says that some difficulties have begun to happen inside the church. The environment inside the church began to get toxic, and there were several symptoms, and the symptoms were this: that divisions began to present themselves inside the church. People focused on their favorite preferences, their favorite teacher, rather than Christ. There were some sort, they had become very, very selfish, very, very self-centered, and thus their spiritual life was out of focus. Now, Paul loves them too much to not say anything. And so he begins to address these issues by issuing a challenge that we're going to see all throughout this letter of 1 Corinthians. And that's this: put your focus back on Christ. And he points them to a key area of the gospel, that if they would focus on Jesus as the primary thing, all these other areas in their life would come into focus. So I call this message, "Grow Up." And it's a message for all of the church in Corinth, but it's a message for us through the ages as well. Because I think that we are actually going to be able to relate to some of these individuals. I know I do, in some of the issues that they were dealing with. When I'm honest with myself, I know I do. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul's writing to them and he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not ready." Now, it's no problem that he fed them with milk. It's no problem that he started on a very base level. Aren't you glad that Christ meets you right where you're at? I'm glad that Christ came to right where I was. He made an appearance to me. He didn't wait for me to try to clean my life up to make an appearance. He went down to the muck, into the mire, into the depth of my sin. That's where I found Jesus. I talk to people and they're like, well, you know, I invite them to church, or I invite them to come to a Bible study. And they're like, I couldn't go to church. If I walked into the building would crumble and fall down. And I'm like, look, if it didn't do that when I came in, it ain't going to do it when you can't come in. Well, you know, I can't do that because I'm really messed up. You know, I got some issues. I got some drug issues in my life. I got some abuse issues. I got pornography issues in my life. And so, you know, God wouldn't want me there. Here's a newsflash. Yes, he does. God loves sinners. And the problem is, though, when God comes to us, when we're messed up, when we're not in order, when our life is all out of balance, he gives us grace, he gives us mercy, and that's wonderful, and it's a precious, sovereign move of Christ. The problem is when we stay there. Christ meets us in our place of devastation. He meets us in our place of brokenness, in our place of weakness, and then he offers a new life to us. And the church at Corinth were excited about hearing this message, but they weren't real excited about the C word, change. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. And even now, you're not ready for it. He'd had 18 months of teaching, and now for 3 years, he's at Ephesus, at the school of Tyrannus. So we have years passing. Guys, there's some problems. You see, Christ's acceptance of sinners is not an acceptance of sin. The ability that he comes to us in a broken state, he doesn't want us to stay there. He offers us new life. He goes on, he says, for you're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Now, I like how he says behaving only in a human way. We all mess up, right? We all mess up. But we should be on a journey towards Christ, not a journey around the same cycle of our life. And yes, we all have that sin cycle of our lives. Anyone who says that, I have yet to meet a person who does not have a sin cycle in their life, where they receive Christ, they are convicted, they move away from him, and things get good, they get lax, and that thing begins to try to pull them back in. Anybody in the room who's, oh, I never have that sin cycle. Because I'd like to have, I need a book, I need to write, you'll be my new chapter. But the truth is, I have yet to find one. In my practical application of walking with people, there is a sin cycle that we have to continue to move to break away from. We need to keep growing. You see, too many Christians take Christ's acceptance of sinners as an acceptance of sin. And they resist a lifelong transformation. So my question to all of us today, as we begin our journey together, is this. Are you changing? Are you changing? And if the answer is, well, no, then perhaps we can do what Paul's addressing. Look, let's look at your diet. You know, to grow, our diet must change. We have to keep growing. And keeping growing is not a want, it is a need. And the Corinthians were not growing because they refused to change their diet. Now, when I was a kid, there was a chain that started, and it was at the tail end of my childhood. It was a store, maybe some of you have heard of it, called Toys R Us. And all the parents are like, yeah. And they had a motto. I love the Toys R Us motto. It went, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. I think we need to add that to our hymn book. Turn to number 455. I don't want to grow up. Because the truth is, I think a lot of us, we resist it. We resist our diet changing. You know, it's sad when we have opportunities to grow and we have opportunities to stretch out. And yet we still want to sit like we were in Sunday school, singing Jesus Loves Me, coloring with the big crayons because we're not good enough for the small crayons yet. We're staying in that same ABC mentality rather than progressing on. And here's why. The church is to blame, because we have become focused on keeping people happy and buying into the mistaken metrics of the world that says that a successful church is one that's full of people, instead of a successful church is full of people becoming more like Christ. And guys, that's what this letter is really getting at the base of. To grow, our diet must change and increase. And we can't fall prey to taster's choice church. So I have 3 points for you today. My voice is just about to quit. 3 quick points for you. My first point is this. Don't follow what everyone else is following. Okay? Because the world has a way of thinking. And the world has a way of processing information. And we were all in it. And when we come to Christ, we can't process information in the same way that we did in the world. It doesn't compute. It doesn't translate. Paul in chapter 2 begins to address this. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. There is stuff that God freely, everybody say freely, he wants to give to you. You can't figure it out in your worldly way of thinking. Because your worldly way of thinking says this: God only likes me when I do right, and he dislikes me when I do wrong. And then we have shame cycles, and we have sin cycles. And that's the cause of all this. Rather than saying he's not interested in adding religion to your sin life, which is what many in the church do. They continue their stinking thinking, and they add religion to a sinful life and not transformation. Am I preaching to anybody here today? All right. He says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they're not spiritually discerned. Going on in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, I love how Paul writes here. Let no one deceive himself. If any one of you thinks that he's wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. There are people who will come up to you and say this: why don't you sleep in on Sundays? Why are you dragging your kids to church on Sunday? You know what? Why are you doing all this? Why do you give money to God? Why do you give money to the church? Why would you do that? Money's hard to come by. That's your hard-earned cash. Why would you support a ministry? Why would you do this? Why do you prioritize spiritual things? I love this one. I've had individuals say, you know what? Well, it doesn't take all that. Imagine that being said to Jesus. That was practically one of the temptations in a way that Satan brought to Jesus. You don't need to do all that. And Jesus, I do. And for us, I wonder if that's the wisdom of the world. Hey, it doesn't take all that. You know, we cheapen the grace of God. That's a phrase that has been coined in a book I was reading on grace lately. We cheapen the grace of God when we refuse to change. When we say, you know, I'm thankful that you forgive me, but I really got no interest in becoming who you called and created me and destined me to be. Grace does not just deal with our past so that we continue the way we are. It offers us new life. That's why Jesus says, hey, if anyone wants to come to the kingdom, he must be born again. Continued growth in Christ. You see, this is difficult for a lot of us, and I get it. I really do get it. Because for many, the wrestle is, what do I do when I don't have God all figured out? Well, in 25 plus years of ministry, I want to tell you something. I don't have God figured all out. But I know God has me figured all out. And so, can I worship a God who's bigger than me? And if the answer is, oh, I really struggle with that, then what I'm really saying is I can only have a God who I fully comprehend, and that's a pretty small God. You tracking with me? God is greater than that. So spiritual growth often conflicts with worldly values when they look at our priorities. I love this one. I've had folks when I really began to strive after Christ, I had to count up the cost. There were some things I had to walk away from. Anybody had to walk away from anything to walk towards Christ? There's some stuff I had to walk away from. There were some life habits I had to walk away from. There were some methods of thinking. There were some value sets that I said, this is what it means to be valued. There were some success images in my mind. This is what it means to be successful. You have to have this, 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 and this. I had to leave all of that behind to follow Christ. And it doesn't make sense in the world. I remember losing some friendships. Why don't you hang out with us anymore? Well, because it's not my value set anymore. What? Look, that's rough. Don't follow what everyone else is following. Now, the damage is when that type of thought process and that mentality, that worldly mentality of success comes into the church. Because here's what happens inside of the church. The church adopts that value set. And so we say things, as I mentioned earlier, The metrics for a healthy church, we say, do you have financial success? Do you have lots of people in the church? You know, do you have buildings? You know, are you well known? Blah, 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 blah. Is that success? Spiritual growth often conflicts with worldly values. Now, to continue to grow in Christ means that we have to remain spiritually minded. We have to focus and keep our mind there. We have to be intentional to put your mind on Christ. I'm that guy, as I told you. I don't like to go shopping without a list, because if I walk into the store, I'm, wow, impulse guy. I catch myself going to all these different places. I have to think it out beforehand, because otherwise I'll come back with everything except what I intended to go, like I said last week. The problem is when we adopt that mentality inside, we have to keep our mind stayed on Christ. That takes effort. Amen? All right. So don't follow what everyone else is following. You have to apply effort and focus and be intentional in your spiritual growth. So my second point is this. So don't follow what everyone else is following. Point two is follow someone worth following. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Paul breaks it down. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. He goes on to say, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. In other words, don't focus on a person. God has put people in your life. Maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a author or a spiritual leader. Those are great. God has placed them in your life. Maybe it's an aunt, maybe it's a grandma, maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's just someone who takes the time to meet with you and to encourage you. God has placed people in your life. Make sure that the people who you're following are worth following, because as God has placed people in your life, I want to tell you this. The enemy has placed people in your life as well. And there are people who are just in your life. And some of them might be very well thought of, but only follow people who are worth following. You see, God has placed them in your life. Understand, though, that the focus must be on Christ, not the person. This is what's really sad in churches today, is when we get a charismatic spearhead figure and we rally around the person and they do all the work for us. You know, the reason that churches are in shambles is because we have allowed people to say that I am an audience member. And what church is I got to keep you entertained for an hour. And if I entertain you well enough, you'll ask someone else to come in and they can be entertained. And that is not healthy church, guys. What's healthy church is your life transforming to become more like Christ? Not a popular message today. Some of you are like, well, why do we even have anything to do with it? Well, God has established it. And when it's right, it's wonderful. The reason it gets like this is because of immaturity and selfishness. So someone worth following is someone who understands that the focus must be on Christ, not that person. Someone who continually encourages growth. Do the people whom you follow, are they constantly encouraging you to grow in Christ? Are they servant leaders? I love how Paul says, look, I, Apollos, we're all servants. We are servants. It's a sad thing in the kingdom of God when people stop being servants and start embracing being served. And you know what that's like. When people stop being approachable. The truth is, church is not a popularity contest, but it should be Christ focus. So brothers and sisters, whom has God placed in your life? Because I know that there's a lot of really wonderful people. And the church is full of them. And so embrace them. And now here's the third point. So this is a quick message. Can you believe it? We're already done to the end of the message today. You're like, you're setting us up. Yes, I am. Point one was don't follow what everyone else is following. Point two is follow someone who's worth following. Paul lays out his credentials, a servant leader, someone who comes to you, who encourages growth, who doesn't replace that. But then here's the third point, and this is the one that we all miss, and this is why we don't grow, and this is why we stay selfish, because we don't get this third point. We stay in the second point. Second point is what? Are you ready for the third point? Because I'm just going to keep drawing it out till you are. How many of you are ready for the third point? Raise your hand. All right, point three. Be someone worth following. That's why the church doesn't grow, because we sit in point two. Who am I going to follow? Who am I going to follow? Who am I? Because it's all about someone else, not about that God has placed ministry upon my life. Every person in this room, you have a calling. God doesn't make junk. You have a calling in Christ. God wants to use you for His glory. You might not be a preacher. You might not be a teacher. They're annoying. Trust me. But the truth is, God has called you to wonderful good works which He has created. That's what Paul says. We are His workmanship in Christ, created to do good works in Christ that He has predestined. He's set up for us. You need to strive to be someone worth following, not just live a life looking at someone else. In other words, you need to spiritually reproduce. You need to bear fruit. And Paul says it like this. And look at the context and how he says it. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. There we have his Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker moment. I am your father. And now he says this. No Star Trek fans? Here I was like, oh man, okay. Star Wars. Someone's a bigger sci-fi nerd than me. Okay. I got fact-checked on sci-fi. Here we go. That's great. You're correct. Star Wars. That's right. Okay, so here's the deal. He says, look, I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Look at the next verse. I urge you then, be imitators of me. A lot of us are, you know, we're the church has disabled you. The church has put you in a place to say, if the church has replaced your relationship with God, that's not healthy. That's not okay. Why in the world have we spent the past several years investing in get involved in small groups. Do life. Don't just attend church. Become the church. Be the people of God. Paul is saying, I'm a servant leader. And that means I'm relationally laying down my life for you. I want you to do the same. Imitate me in this regards. And I will tell you, a lot of you, this is how you grow spiritually. A lot of people say this. Feed me, 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 and they never do. Sometimes you grow through doing. Well, what if I mess up? It's okay, it's not about you anyway. Get out and do it. Grow, grow. Well, what if they ask me a question I don't know? That's why you should have been growing and gone from milk to meat. Okay. So if you recognize that you missed that cycle, great. Get on the next one. Get on the next wave. How many of you have missed a wave or two in your life? Okay, here's the encouragement. get the board, get ready. There's a big wave coming. Get on there. Get prepared. And take off. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 20 through 21 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk. I love that. But in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Paul is saying, I'm gonna serve you. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna nurture you. And so we grow to serve one another. You grow by serving. Part of our growth is tied into our service for Christ. So focus is not what can be done for you. That's our focus in church should not be, how do you keep me happy? How do you keep me happy? How do you keep me happy? But what can I do for someone else? The church should be a place where we equip you to serve, not to be served. We see this taking its toll in the church at Corinth. Focus on Christ and the gospel. And this is hard stuff, guys. You see, the church in 2017 is in a really, really critical junction here in the United States. It's in a really, really difficult place. You know where the church is growing right now? In areas in the world where there's persecution. That's where the church is growing. Because people are really having an authentic faith. And I'm not saying that we don't have an authentic faith. I'm saying is when we get complacent and we stop growing, we get in trouble. We got to use God's metrics, not the world's. So how do we apply this? Okay, I have a typo here, so don't laugh at me. First, recognize that you are not perfect and you need, and I dub it twice, you need two times. And you need Christ every day. How many of you need Christ every day? We got to stay there. Each day is a gift from Him. There is purpose. Recognize you're not perfect, but don't stay in your imperfection. Be perfected. I'm not perfect. I can recognize that I have a temper. That doesn't mean that I say, I know I have a temper and I will forever have a temper. At some point I say, I need to have my temper tempered. I need to have this thing. Talk to somebody who has a lack of discipline in an area. Okay, recognize it, own it, and then allow Christ to begin to transform. Oh, I have trust issues. I get it. You got trust issues. Super. That's not a sentence to say that you can't overcome it. Because in Christ, you can overcome all things. The church is full of people whom Christ changes. Check your focus. Brothers and sisters, is your focus personal preference? Has a person or an author or a pastor or a spiritual leader or a megachurch pastor or some famous person, has a person replaced Christ in your life? Has your prayer partner, who you always call when it's a rough time, have they replaced your ability to go to your Father? Well, they hear God better than me. No, they don't. They don't hear God better than you. I had a long debate with somebody just recently who were saying, well, I just can't hear God. I'm like, yeah, you can. You absolutely can hear God. The question is not, can you hear God? The question have you turned the other noise down? And the question is, are you willing to hear it? And like I told you last week, the number one thing I tell people when they say, what has God said? I can't hear. I need a word from God. What's the last clear word that He said? Go back to that and ask yourself this question. What have I done with it? And what has it done to me? That was free. Do I have a secondhand relationship with Christ? Check your focus. Is your focus on Christ? Because this is what Paul is saying. Put your focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. And here's how you know you're focusing on Christ. You ready? You begin to invest in others. Not yourself. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples. By your big buildings. Think that's what he said? No. By this will all men know that you're my disciples. Because you're going to be famous. No, that's not what the Word of God says. By this all men will know you're my disciples. Because you'll have good rapport. No. He says, by this all men will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And in that, I got room to grow. Anybody else? All right. So here's the deal. grow up. Grow up. Grow up in Christ.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.